I thank you this morning for a time to just spend honoring you in your house of worship, just fellowshipping with each other, choosing to be in your presence, Lord. And now we just open our hearts to you. We ask that you would open the eyes of our understanding, that you would fill us with your glory. I pray that this would be a place of hope and of healing for all hearts. I pray this so that you, Jesus the Christ, would be glorified, would be magnified above all else. And in your name I ask these things, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. So, I was curious, anybody while you were growing up, and you're still growing up, do you have any chore lists, any to-do lists? Did you? Every day. That's a honey-do list. Okay, so I thought about a few of my chores that were on my list, or the ones that I had for my kiddos. See if you had any of these. Like either doing the dishes or unpacking the dishwasher. That's what I thought. Okay, mowing the lawn, feeding the pets, milking the cows, cleaning your room. Okay, good. We've got a few tidy. Okay. Cleaning. You couldn't walk a straight line in my room. You couldn't even like without stepping on something. I mean, it was like Cheryl, Renee, and they just shut the door. I was just not really good at that on my to-do list. How about folding the laundry? Anybody? And I taught my kids early on because what they would do, they'd wear something and they'd just take it off and leave it in a pile and it wasn't necessarily dirty, but they wouldn't want to hang it up. It was more work to hang it up. So I said, that's fine. That's fine. You can start doing your own laundry. So if it's on the floor, it must be dirty. So you get to wash it, dry it, and then you can hang it up. Yes. Okay. That's how way you did it in my house. How about, now this will go back a ways. Although we heat with wood, we still have wood stoves. We love that heat. Anybody have to fetch the wood? Go out and fetch the wood. Okay, you did. Okay, we use a wheelbarrow now or a truck. You fetch the wood. Anybody vacuum or sweep or mop? That was your chore. Dust. Maybe clean the mirrors. Okay, and this is one of my chores, which this is really not fair. I had to practice the piano every day. I was the alarm clock at 6:30. You woke up to da 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 da. Little hand and exercises for 20 minutes before I got to my regular practicing. That was just one of my chores. I had to do it. I survived. And I thought, you know, when my kids had, one of them was the duster because he was the detail person. So he's going to dust everywhere, everything, the top of the picture frames, on the rockers, he was detail. So he was my duster. And then I had the fast ones. They were the vacuumers. And I had the ones that cleaned the mirrors and the windows. And as they grew and graduated and left the home, it was really a bummer because I had to start doing all that myself again. I was like, our kids are 12 years apart. I went a long time with built-in housekeepers doing these chores. It was awesome. Dishes, that whole thing. So, how many are list makers today? Like grocery lists, to-do lists, okay? See what personalities we've got, okay? Mine is a mental. Anybody a mental? You make mental lists? Okay, because my thing is, if you write it down, if you're a writer-downer list person, what if you forget to write it down? So I just remember in here because I'm thinking if I just keep it all in here, it's there, okay? There was a meeting one time, a lady was going to meet with a bunch of my friends, and she was a professional organizer. And she was going to teach us with our journals and all these things how to organize. This was long before computers and how to just be better at organization. Anybody need that class? Okay, the problem with that day when it came and we were all waiting at the host's house, the organizer had forgot to write it down on her calendar. Wow. So I thought, I'm not going to be organized by writing it down. I'm just going to have it in here. So, but you got to be careful because it can get really cluttered up there. But, so you have a daily list, maybe a weekly list. How about anybody planning a summer vacation? Okay. A trip to Ecuador. You guys have a list. I know you have a list of the things you've got to get, bring. Oh, you're on vacation in Iowa. Okay, when you go on these vacations, if you're a camper, you have your list. Don't want to forget it. You want to make sure you've checked your list, and you're going to bring everything that's on that list. Anybody do outdoor projects? Mary? Yes. Two hands up. Girlfriend. Okay, weeding, mowing, and now that the weather is a little more dependable, we can actually get out there and get her done. I'm planning on cleaning the garage. That's one of the things on my list. And we already mentioned the honey-do list. How many know what a honey-do list is? Most of the wives are raising their hands right now. Okay. So what a honey-do list is, honey, this is what I'd like you to do. This is your honey-do list. Okay? So, and he likes lists because it used to be that I just expected him to read my mind and just know what I wanted fixed around the house. He will just see that the lawn needs to be mowed, or he will just see that to do, but he could walk right by something and not see like me. So then I would get frustrated, and he'd say, well, if you just write it down, if you just write down the things you need me to do, I'll check off my list. So that's how we work it. He gets a honey-do list, and that works. So what's the point? Why make a list? Helps to be focused. Today, this week, I plan to get this done. It helps me to see where I'm going. Okay? Helps me to stay on track. Something else comes up, I say, no, this is on my list. It needs to get done. It's important. I have a list. I have goals. Okay? And it also takes a big, huge thing, and it breaks it down into bite-sized pieces. When we were moving from Lebanon to Lyons, we had a shop that was just ginormous. And we'd collected things for, 40 plus years, plus all four of the kids had things stored in the shop. And when it came time to move, I was just absolutely overwhelmed. Where do you start? Where do you start on something so huge? So my goal, my to-do list was if I could just get these shelves this day. And tomorrow, if I could just get this workbench cleaned off. And then if I could just go over to these tubbies the next day. And then I would have to work my, otherwise, it was overwhelming. Anybody ever have an overwhelming job? And if you break it down into pieces, and my yard was that way. It was like a park. And I had to just say, okay, today I'll just prune the ferns. And then I'll weed the flower beds. And then I'll mow. And I could work my way around because the task was so big. I did it in bite-sized pieces. And then it was rewarding. You could check it off. I did this. The task is completed. It's been said if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. It's important to plan. It's important to make goals. It's important to have a to-do list. So that's in the natural, but I wanted to just put this in front of us today for consideration. What about a spiritual to-do list? Ever given thought to that? Okay, I see a hand. Okay. A spiritual to-do list. Maybe we should think about that. Because, once again, that'll help us to stay focused, to stay on track, to make goals, and then it will be rewarding as we see progress is being made. All those in favor? All those still awake? Thank you. You're nodding. Don't be nodding on me. Okay. So, we're all on a faith journey. Whether we have found what we've been looking for, which is that empty place being filled by Christ and Christ alone. We're seeking possibly for relationship with Christ, or we have indeed found the one and only that can bring satisfaction and abundance of life. We're on a journey. So being on a journey, why would we want to have this list? Well, I want to say that if we have a list, if we have goals, it's going to encourage our hearts. It's going to deepen our relationship with our lover, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to benefit others because we're working out our salvation with fear and trembling. So I wrote down a few things that perhaps would be on our spiritual to-do list. Maybe I'm going to forgive so-and-so. That'd be good? Okay, I need to forgive so-and-so. Think how deliberate this could be. If we were intentional, we're going to forgive so-and-so. Maybe we'd say, I need to be more loving and patient towards people in my home, in my neighborhood, in my family, my friends. Anybody doing a little poking right there? Okay. I need to just get in the Word. I need to read my Bible more regularly. I need to have that as a goal. I need to spur myself on. Here's a good one to put on your spiritual to-do list. I need to pray for my pastors a lot more. I need to practice random acts of kindness. Maybe if we just were intentional, just write it on a note and put it on the fridge. Just practice being kind. That'd be kind of a good thing. I need to love the Lord my God with all of my heart, with my mind, with my soul, and my strength. Our list would have to-dos and not to-dos. And those to-dos and not to-dos are found in God's Word, the Bible. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Okay, that's our manual. That's our manual. James 1:22 says, do what God's teaching says. Don't just listen and do nothing. When you only sit and listen, you are fooling yourselves. In other words, be doers of the word and not hearers only. But I was thinking, with that being said, it almost is sounding like Christianity is a bunch of rules, of a bunch of do's and don'ts. Okay? And I've heard, just even this last month, someone said, well, I don't want to be a Christian. It's just a bunch of rules. It's just what you can do, what you can't do. I can't do this, I have to do that. I have to do this, and I can't do that. It's just rules, 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 regulations and laws. That's religion. That's why people get it confused. There's religion working it out, like I'm going to earn my salvation. It's not about that. It's not about keeping rules and laws to somehow acquire salvation. It's being a follower of Christ, being in relationship with Him. He's the one that makes your existence exciting, filled with hope, filled with a joy, which makes you want to combust. If your spiritual to-do list is burdensome and feels more like a chore list, then it's time to make a new one. Okay? I'm going to talk us through this. When our aim in life is simply to know Christ, to know His character, to really know Him and to make Him known, we have made our ultimate to-do list. I just want to know Christ. I want to know His power, His love, His grace. And I was thinking of this message, and I remember, I'm going to go about 30 years ago. We lived in Millersburg. We lived there 18 years. We raised our four kids there and out in the country. And I remember being in the living room doing my devotions because the sun rose in that room. And I remember where I was when I had a grace awakening. And I'd been a Christian all my life. My folks were pastors in the ministry. I'd done confirmation, been baptized, been filled with the Holy Spirit. But there was something different. There was something different about this day. God's riches at Christ's expense. I had an awakening in my spirit. And I remember calling my dad and saying, Dad, I've been saved by grace. I get it. I've had a grace awakening. And it was the beginning for me of saying, I got to know more depth. We see in part. We see in black and white, but I wanted color. I wanted 3D. I wanted to go deeper. And it got me hungry and thirsty to know Him intimately. Into me see, Lord. I want to know You. And I wasn't satisfied till I drew a circle around myself and said, revive what's in the circle. Amen. Ephesians 3:8-9 is written by the Apostle Paul. And he said, everything else is worthless compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. I have put aside all else, counting it worth less than nothing. What is less than nothing? Negative. In order that I may have Christ and become one with Him. Intimacy. Because when there's intimacy, there's fruit. Fruit comes by being one in the vine with Him. No longer counting on being saved by being good enough or by obeying God's laws, but by trusting Christ to save me. For God's way is to make us right through Christ Jesus Himself. We are to depend on Him by faith and count on Christ alone. Bottom line, in Christ alone I stand. Paul goes on to say, Philippians 3, 12 through 14. He says, I don't mean to say that I'm perfect. I haven't learned all I should even yet, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for. Christ saved you for something. You have purpose. You have a plan unique to you. Finally, I will be all that Christ saved me for and be all that He wants me to be. Are you satisfied where you're at? I don't even have my spurs on today, honey. I could have had my clip-on spurs and I could be spurring. Because the word says, spur one another on towards love and good deeds. All the more as you see the day of His return approaching. I see that day. I see that day. No, dear brothers, Paul said, I am still not all I should be, but I am bringing all of my energies to bear on this one thing. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. And I thought, Paul, what did you have to forget? What was this with your past? Well, Paul had a past, like some of us. He had things that he was very proud of, as well as things he was very ashamed of. He was a persecutor of Christians. He was zealous, but on the wrong team. He was going towards the wrong goal. He had a lot of visual, of actual things that he'd done that he had to forget about, not look back at. God opened his eyes to see the truth that Christ was the Savior of the world. And when his eyes were opened, Saul became Paul. And he was zealous for the right team. But he felt the shame and the guilt for what he had done. His upbringing, he had very many accomplishments. It was stellar in the religious sect. He had things he could boast about, and he did. But then he said, in this long resume of things, this all is dung. It is worth nothing compared to knowing Jesus Christ. Just how are you and I like that today? How are we like Paul? Do we have things that we're ashamed of? Maybe things we're proud of. I know I am. I am one that, again, there's things, I could say I'm all that, and there's things I could say I'm a low, good nobody. I think what we have in common with Paul is I. Me, myself, and I. Pride, P-R-I-D-E. I is in the middle of pride. Okay? So when I say I'm all that, I'm all that. Look at my resume. Look what I've done. Woo-hoo! Okay? It's about me. Yes? When I say, man, I'm just such a scumbucket. I'm just low. I'm just nothing. I'm no good. I can't get it right. I'm a terrible, horrible this and that. It's still pride because it's all about me. Okay? Self-promoting, or self-pity is pride, because it focuses in on me. So Paul, in his wisdom and in his instructions to us, he says, forget what lies behind. Okay? Just forget it. Forget what lies behind. And I want to remind you, we cannot drive forward looking in the rearview mirror. You ever try it? I was driving my daughter's car when we were in Oklahoma, and they have the little screen that when you back up, you know, it's got the what you're going to hit or not hit, you know. Ours has a little one, but it's on the rearview mirror, a little teeny little camera. And if you get close to something, it'll go beep, beep. If you get a little closer, it's beep, 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 beep. If you get really close, it's a beep, beep, beep. Okay, don't hit this, don't hit this. It's helpful, but I can't drive forward looking at that, can I? I look back long enough to see the grace of God that got me through. The grace of God that healed me. The grace of God that forgave me. The grace of God that says, I will work all things out for your good and my glory. That's how long we look back to see the grace of God. This reminds me, and ladies, you have heard this. Of course, Tammy knew instantly when she saw the ladder. Although the guys this morning on the worship team weren't sure what this little thing is for. So girls, how many of you know what the ladder's for? Yes, I see those hands. Girls, you know what the ladder, yes, Vonna, I see that hand. You know what the ladder's for. She's in Tiny Town, she even knows. Guys, you need to get a ladder and get over it. He wondered if the little people were coming to church today when he saw this one. So, you know what, you guys? I once saw these at a craft store, and they were on clearance, and I bought boxes of them, and I gave them to people. And I said, put it in a prominent place in your home to remind you. Get over it. Forget what lies behind. You can't go into today with yesterday's garbage on your back or chains around your ankles. You can't run this race if you don't let it go. So anybody want to check out the ladder this week? All right, I see that hand. You can check out the ladder. It's yours, buddy. We'll just rotate the ladder. How about that? We'll just rotate it around until we just get a ladder and get over it. Some of you are going to get extension ladders. I can see it. You're getting the big Mac Daddy. Whoa, baby. I'm getting the big one. I'm gonna get over it. Philippians 3:14. Forget it. Press on. Paul says, I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God is calling us up to heaven because of what Christ Jesus did for us. What does straining look like? Anybody want a strain? Give me a strain. Can somebody give me a strain? Like reach for the pew, not in front of you, but the one in the next front of you. Strain. I think you guys need to move right now. Strain. Strain, reach. Oh, good reach, darling. You keep reaching. Okay, I don't see you straining. Guys, strain. Good strain, Bonnie. Oh, Tim's really reaching there. Okay. All right. Straining. It's determination. It's desperation. It's tenacity. Okay? It's not like, if I feel like it, whatever. I'm fine. No. It's going after it like your life, your next breath depends on it. And I'll tell you what, our next breath does depend on it. The breath of life. You can have this kind of a life, but Jesus said, I've come to give you this kind of a life. Abundant, to the full, overflowing. Satan, on the other hand, John 10:10, I've come to steal and to kill and to destroy. Some of us are getting in agreement with what he's come to do. I'm just going to have you wear guilt the rest of your life. I'm just going to have you wear regret the rest of your life. Jesus said, I went to the cross for that guilt. I went to the cross for that regret. Forget it. Just forget it. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Paul again. But God's grace has made me what I am. And his grace to me was not wasted. I worked harder than all the other apostles, but I was not really the one working. It was God's grace that was with me. Do you get this, you guys? His grace even puts the will, he puts the desire in me to be good. Okay? That didn't come from me. That didn't come from you. You didn't wake up just wanting to be good. It's God's grace in you. It's God's grace in me that even puts it in us to be better. And then as we cooperate, his grace fuels us. You get this? It's just really all about grace. Grace. As we work out salvation with fear and trembling, it's only God's grace that even makes us want to. Anybody need your want to adjusted? Yes. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. I've told you, I stenciled this in my family room in Lebanon, right above our sliding glass doors where we went in and out, in and out. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Huge. As a reminder, I'm nothing. If he doesn't do it, I'm nothing. So I ask him to do it. Create in me a clean heart. Again, not so this starts to sound like a to-do list or a chore list, but it's a focus list. It's a heart thing. It's a change. Not doing it to be saved, but doing it because I'm saved. I do it because I'm thankful. I want to be nice to you because God was nice to me. I want to be merciful to you because he gave me mercy new this morning, Shauna. Can you stand it? The sun came up, and with that mercy, that means he didn't give me what I deserve. So I think I'm not going to give you what you deserve. And some of you could, no, never mind. No, not going to do it. If we're focusing on knowing Christ and we receive it by faith, we receive this grace, that's how we approach this list. So when we look at the list and we see, forgive so-and-so, instead of me thinking I've got to strive at that, all I have to do is see grace. I have to see that he has forgiven me as far as the east is from the west. Let's see, that's west. Okay, east is from the west. I got it right. So it's easy to forgive you. When I see that I'm to be more loving and patient towards others, I just have to think that while I was yet a sinner, he died for me. As I'm a jerk, he forgives so I can be nice to you. It's knowing him, and then he becomes in me. I become like who I hang around with. Well, when it says read my Bible regularly on my list, I'm like, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word have I hid in my heart so I won't sin against you. It's just a duh thing to want to read the instruction manual, to spend time with him. It's his love letters to us. It encourages me. I go through the Psalms and I'm just like David. I have a bad day. Well, David had tons of it. People were trying to kill him. He hid in caves. Anybody? Been hiding out in a cave because someone's after you? Well, yeah. I can relate. We can relate. They fail, but they get God's grace. His word stirs me up. Praying for others, your pastors, your family. That's just like breathing. Prayer is talking to God. Lord, is there anything I forgot in the grocery store today? Thanks for the reminder. Lord, help me to get there on time. Lord, keep me safe. It's breathing. Prayer is just breathing. Prayer is tears. Prayer is laughter. Prayer is praise. Prayer is breathing. Breathing. He is my oxygen. And if you think you can go to some altitude without oxygen, you can't. You've got to have oxygen. And that's his love. Constantly breathe him in. Talk to him. It's easy when you look at it as just breathing. Practicing random acts of kindness, well, that's easy. Because it's his loving kindness that even draws us to repentance. God is not waiting to hammer us or to annihilate us. It's his loving kindness. His mercy triumphs over his judgment. So when I remember that, I can practice random acts of kindness towards others. And when I think I need to get rid, here's my list, I need to get rid of my guilt and my shame and my regrets, my failures, comparisons, my grudges, basically my old self. When I look at all that, all I have to do is look at the cross. It's done. I just have to focus on the grace of God that drew salvation's plan and brought it to you and me. That's all I have to do is accept his forgiveness and not carry it. He never intended us to carry our shame. Just take your list and write grace all over your list. Get to know him. Get to know his character, his ways, and you will love him. Today I pray that we would experience a greater grace, a deeper, richer understanding of his presence. And I want to honor God today by honoring the very special gift that each and every one of us received by his sovereign plan. 104 years ago, this day was set aside to recognize mothers. And although some say it's maybe just become very commercialized, it's a Hallmark holiday, right? It's just the Hallmark holiday. But I want to honor mom today. I want to honor your mom. And in doing that, I want to read your psalm. Everyone here, guys, gals, young, more mature, you had chosen by Almighty God a life giver, and that was your mom. Psalms 139. Oh Lord, you've examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know when I sit or stand. When far away, you know my every thought. You chart the path ahead of me and tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment you know where I am. You know what I'm going to say before I even say it. You both proceed and you follow me and you place your hand of blessing on my head. This is too glorious, too wonderful to believe. I can never be lost to your spirit. I can never get away from my God. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the place of the dead, you are there. If I ride the morning winds to the farthest oceans, even there, your hand will guide me. Your strength will support me. If I try to hide in darkness, the night becomes light around me. For even darkness cannot hide from my God. To you, the night shines as bright as the day. Darkness and light are both alike to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit them together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. It's amazing to think about. Your workmanship is too marvelous, and how well I know it. You were there while I was being formed in utter seclusion. You saw me before I was born, and you scheduled each day of my life before I even began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book. How precious it is, Lord, to realize that you are thinking about me constantly. I can't even count how many times a day your thoughts turn towards me. And when I waken in the morning, you are still thinking of me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test my thoughts. Point out anything you find in me that makes you sad. And lead me to the path of everlasting life. Your mother was chosen by God himself to be the perfect womb to be conceived in, to grow in, and to eventually be birthed out of. He chose her. This day, you are breathing and you're alive because of your mother. I honor your mom. And I honor her today because without her, you wouldn't be here. And I couldn't live if living was without you. Ladies, we honor you all today. To those who gave birth this year, we celebrate with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who have ever experienced loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or a child running away, we ache with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes, prods, tears, and disappointment. We pray for your heart. Please forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make it harder than it already is. To those who envision lavishing love on grandchildren, yet that dream is not to be, we are saddened with you. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we sorrow with you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we rejoice with you. To those who have lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you. To those who have lived through driving tests, medical tests, and overall the testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who have experienced abuse at the hand of your mother, we acknowledge your pain and we care. To those who step-parent, we walk with you on these complex paths. To those whose crisis pregnancy resulted in an abortion, we don't judge you. We embrace your aching heart. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we mourn that life has not turned out the way you had longed for it to be. To those who will have emptier nests in the coming year, we rejoice with you and we also console you. To those who have placed children up for adoption, we commend you for your selflessness and remember how you hold that child in your heart. To those who have lost a child, we grieve and we mourn with you. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate and celebrate with you. Ladies, this Mother's Day, we walk with you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart. Gentlemen, we have real warriors in our midst, and we honor you, ladies, today. And I want all females to stand so we can honor you and show our appreciation and love. Ladies, would you all please stand this morning? All our ladies, we honor you, we love you, we thank you, we cherish you, we treasure you. Today as you're leaving, the ushers are going to give you this cute little tote. It has the fruits of the Holy Spirit on it, so we want that to be our gift to you today. Woohoo! So don't leave without that. Just showing you a token of our love and appreciation. In closing, I want you to know this is not an easy day. Okay? I called and wished my mother a happy Mother's Day, and she said, you know, her mom, my grandma, used to cry every Mother's Day, and I didn't go there. I don't know why. But it's not an easy day. It's not such an easy day, just so you know. There are challenges, and one of those challenges may be that there's a strained relationship with your mom. There's a lack of good memories. Maybe you had a Hallmark mom, but maybe not. Maybe you didn't even have a mom growing up. She wasn't around. But today, if you'll just let this Reverend Mother, this Reverend Mother, remind you of one thing. Put on your to-do list, grace. Choose to forget what lies behind. Press forward to what lies ahead. Press on with determination, with focus, to know Christ. Just get to know him. Spend time with him. Worship him. Talk to him. Get into the manual. Praise him. And make him known to all the hurting people in your path, of which there are many. Just touch one life at a time. The Lord heals, He comforts, He restores, He guides, He redeems, He cares, He gives beauty for ashes, He gives joy for tears, He gives hope, He gives peace, and He has a plan for you today. Let's pray. Lord, I am ever so thankful for the revelation of the riches that are in You, Jesus Christ. Life is hard, but God is good. You've been so good to us, Lord. And You chose a perfect womb for us to be conceived in. You chose our mothers. We honor that place. We honor her today. And thank You that we have life. That was maybe the best thing that she may have ever contributed. But she did that. And we are alive and here today so that we can walk in Your grace and we can live out Your grace and we can press towards the prize. We can finish this race. Thank You. Lord, I pray for Your grace awakening to come to everyone listening to my voice today, that they would know how good You are, that they would know the abundance of life in You. Thank You. Thank You. Bless each and every one. Bless each and every heart.